call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. Ever. I'm the most brutal and Michigan, most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm
Yo! And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the side, going down. Audio Shop Talk right to you, right in your ear hole, by yours truly, the one and only Joseph Wall, a.k.a. your mother's boyfriend, right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. And if you don't know, you about to know. And if you already know, it's being reinforced. So throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. Because if you like fishing grits and all that pimp shit, everybody say, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Really going down. Hey, this show, I ain't even going to lie. We talk about race, racism, and it's surrounding a lot of the climate of things that's going on in America right now. Things that's always been going on in America, calling out some hypocrisy, and we putting perspective to things as best we can, right? Because the world of sports, I'm side-eyeing the hell out of you, the world of sports. I'm side. Where were you 4 years ago? Where were you 4 years ago, world of sports, NFL, all you others? Where were you 4 years ago, even before that? Where were you 10 years ago? Where were you 60 years ago? Huh? So, you got a kind of overview of what we get. I feel like most of this show going to be a rant. I feel like it. It might be. But we're getting it in, Fix Sports Podcast. For those, this is your first time listening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Once again, I am Joseph Ward. I am your maestro. And this is the realest, blackest, and funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life, right? But we keep it real. And we go in on subjects and things that make other people uncomfortable. And we don't sugarcoat shit because we don't have to. Now, before I get into it, we're going to get into these topics and break this thing down. So remember that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips. The stories of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora are brought to you in one under one umbrella in many different facets. And those facets are the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available for Android, and it's on the website at www.ontheshoulders1.com. There's an On the Shoulders of Giants online course on Patreon, and that's patreon.com/OTSOG. There's the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as face-to-face classes, seminars, educational sessions, keynote speaking engagements, anything you need from On the Shoulders of Giants. Now, we know we're in the Rona time, but we was prepared for Rona before Rona even happened. That's why On the Shoulders of Giants has a digital component. Most or all of the information can be assessed online through digital formats, smartphones, smart boards, smart TVs, computers, laptops, whatever you need, tablets, whatever. You can access On the Shoulders of Giants' information. All you have to do is visit their website once again at www.ontheshoulders1.com. All right. Shout out to all the protesters. But I do want to put some perspective to why organization, why protesting is vastly important. So what we're talking about today, HBCU Spotlight will be aimed at a young lady named Brianna Daniels, who's making headway in a NASCAR game. HBCU News is FAMU. All right. FAMU is moving from the MEAC to the SWAC. I need to do my research, find out what the hell is going on with the MEAC, because people leaving that MEAC. So FAMU has been approved to move from the MEAC to the SWAC. The swiggity, 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 SWAC. So in the NBA, the NBA Board of Governors, they approved a competitive format to restart the 2019-2020 NBA season with 22 teams returning to play, and they will be playing in Orlando, Florida. Then we get into some stuff, because people's real character is start to be revealed. So there's an Oregon State athlete who went on a rant calling black people niggas. So we're going to get into that, learn more about that. Former University of Georgia quarterback, current Buffalo Bills rookie quarterback Jake Fromm apologizes for his text conversation with his friend, saying that only elite white people should own guns. And we're going to break down the context of that. A play-by-play announcer for the Sacramento Kings named Grant Napier, he resigned and was fired. He was fired, but they, quote-unquote, he resigned after an All Lives Matter tweet in an exchange with NBA player DeMarcus Cousins. Florida State's head football coach Mike Norvell is playing damage control for lying about him sitting down with each of his players and talking about race and race relations and things going on now. When his players called him out, it was like, nah, bro, you ain't talked to us. So we're going to get into that. And our weekly rant, now, like I said, I feel like the whole show is mostly a rant, but the bulk of the rant or the aimed rant is going at two people, Drew Brees and Laura Ingram. Laura Ingram, you have made my rant again with your bitch ass, right? So Drew Brees went on his dumb shit again, talking about the flag and people shouldn't be kneeling and why it's disrespectful to the flag and the military, and he got checked for that. Then he sent out an apology. We're going to get on that. Then Laura Ingram trying to defend Drew Brees' statements. And she was called out for it because, remember, she told LeBron James and Kevin Durant to shut up and dribble. But now she's saying that athletes have a right to express themselves. But, bitch, you didn't say that when LeBron James and Kevin Durant was getting on Trump. You got mad because they were talking about your fuck-ass president. See how it is? All right, so, man, y'all, hey, man, it's going down today, man. It's really going down today. And before I get too far, this is season five, episode 16, part one of the Fix Sports podcast. Part two is my interview with my homeboy, good friend, athlete, former football player in the Arena League, who's a current head coach. He's a current football coach in the state of Michigan, helping a number of kids get to college, Mr. Bruce Fennell. So this, what I'm giving you now, is part one, and part two is coming out. It's out now as well. So part two is my interview with Bruce Fennell, and part one is all this information. I wanted to separate this. I didn't want to put it all in one show, so the focus can be on one thing within the show. So this is part one, and part two is with Bruce Fennell. So I guess y'all know what time, and then we got to start this thing off right. We got the HBCU Spotlight. We got to start this thing off right. We got the HBCU Spotlight. Black Lives Matter. HBCU spotlight. So we talked about this young lady in the past for her groundbreaking moves in NASCAR, and now we're back talking about it again because she's still balling out, still doing the thing. Hey, standing like Eva Knievel. So former Norfolk State basketball player Brianna Daniels made history when she became the first black female tire changer in NASCAR. Now that the sport is back after the COVID-19 hiatus, there's hardly time for her to catch a breath. Ever since NASCAR started back, I've been all over the place with such a busy schedule. The turnaround has been so quick. We were at the track. We're there pretty much all day. Then it starts over the very next day, Dan said. Her most recent work has included working on the number 52 Xfinity car with driver Jimmy Means. In the Cup Series, she's been on duty with the number 78 car while changing tires for the number 7 in the Truck Series. There's a lot of numbers, and there's been a lot of days off at the track. Last week, for instance, Daniels was at Charlotte Motor Speedway on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. There was an Xfinity race to start the week. The Truck Series was on Tuesday before the Cup race. Sat through the rain on Wednesday night before getting in on Tuesday. Before getting it in on Thursday. My ass can't read today. I'm tripping. So they gotta have a picture of her in the tire changer gear looking tire changery. You know what I'm talking about? So the schedule has wrecked Daniels' normal routine, but it's part of the job. Waking up and trying to scramble and hurry up and get things done at home before going to the track and being there all day. It's so weird being at the track on a Wednesday back-to-back when we normally race on weekends, right? This week has offered Daniels a slight break with just 2 races on tap. The Cup Series ran its race on Saturday, and the Xfinity races on Monday night. Both events were held without fans in Bristol, Tennessee. This former Spartan will have a few days to fall back into normalcy before a trio of races this weekend at Atlanta Motor Speedway. So, Brianna, after changing them tires, beautiful young lady, after changing the tires, doing her thing. So, I did want to make sure we spotlight her and her tremendous job and her tremendous efforts out there making sure that them trucks and them cars getting tires changed because they need that so they can ride. You heard me? So Brianna Daniels is a tire changer for NASCAR, and she got the number 52 car, number 78 car, and the number 7 car, and what else? I don't know. So NASCAR is one of the few sports that has already started back. NASCAR, we know UFC has started back. I can't recall all of them that have started back, but I do know NASCAR and UFC are 2 that have started back. So, man, shit, you ain't doing nothing else. Check out Brianna Daniels and look up. You spell her name BrihannaDaniels. Brianna Daniels, who's a tire changer for NASCAR out here doing her thing. So, man, y'all know how we get down out here, the Fix Sports Podcast, man. Everybody around the globe, put y'all hands together for the one and only Brianna Daniels. There you go. Bree. Get down for that Bree Ray. Brianna Daniels. It's clearly an H in there, not just clearly skipping over the H in her name, Brianna Daniels. Be fame, ma. Still letting them hang. Still on the block, let it slang bang. Hard stunting like Brianna Daniels. So, hey, man, I'll give it up for Brianna Daniels. And that there is my HBCU spotlight.
Ooh.
Ooh, yes, 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 yes. Feel it. Feel it in your heart. Smell that thing. Look at my face. Look at my face. I got a face. That's how you feel about me. I got a face. You got that spank on your face. If you can't see it, but you can't see it. Patreon.com/fit so you can see my face. The video is back. Yeah, this episode, we do have video for this episode. We didn't have it for the last couple, but video is back for this episode. Baby. I look so bad when I'm around you, baby. I can't touch the sky. You make my temperature rise. Oh, baby. My bad. I was feeling it. Hold on. Let me, so HBCU news, right? Fam you, I love you, the orange and the green. That's all I really know about the song. I ain't gonna sit here and act like I know the song, but FAMU has been approved to move to the SWAC, and the SWAC is the Southwestern Athletic Conference. They know they got that bounce when they march, right? It's different from the MEAC, the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. So one of the crown jewels in HBCU football ready to make the move to the SWAC. Of course, because they know, they recognize FAMU live like that. That's why they said the crown jewel, because they know FAMU live like that, right? So Florida A&M's Board of Trustees unanimously voted to move from the MEAC to the SWAC on Thursday. On Thursday, I'm having a fucking problem saying Thursday. FAMU will leave the MEAC on June 30th, 2021 and join the SWAC on July 1st of the next year, pending approval by the SWAC's member institutions. And from my research, it has been approved. So the MEAC, FAMU, and the SWAC has approved FAMU. So FAMU is officially in the SWAC. The school's VP of athletics, Courtney Gosher, all but assumed that the SWAC was waiting to welcome FAMU, which they have. They have welcomed FAMU with open arms. The move coupled with North Carolina A&T's independent move to the Big South. So they've lost Hampton. I think they lost Hampton, A&T, and FAMU. It's either Hampton or Howard, A&T, or FAMU. But A&T and FAMU are powerhouses in the MEAC. Right? So when A&T and FAMU leave next summer, the MEAC will be down to 9 full members, only 7 of which play football. Delaware State, Morgan State, Howard, Norfolk State. Yeah, so Hampton left. Howard, Norfolk State, North Carolina Central, and South Carolina State and Bethune-Cookman will be the remaining football-playing programs, along with Coppin State and Maryland Eastern Shore. FAMU originally joined the MEAC in 1979 after being longtime members of the SEAC. And on the heels of its Division I AA national title win, it will leave the conference in the mid-1980s and operate as an independent Division I AA program for a few years before coming back into the fold and briefly operating as a Division I-A independent in 2004, which FAMU should have capitalized on that. FAMU's football program rejoined the MEAC the following year. Check back with the FAMU game, but FAMU, the move for FAMU to the SWAC has been approved this past week, and it's really going down. So 2021, what they say. So July 1st of 2021, FAMU will be the newest member of the Southwestern Athletic Conference, and they get to show everybody how great FAMU is, the culture, the athletics, the education, everything that FAMU has is top-notch. You know, the highest of Seven Hills, one of the greatest schools in the land, the greatest school in the land, the greatest HBCU, FAMU doing their thing. So just bring you up to speed. That FAMU. Start 2021, down with that swiggity swag. Jump, the swiggity swag make you jump, the swiggity swag make you. So FAMU is in the Swizzack. All right, so let's keep this thing rolling. Let's keep this thing rolling. So, the NBA has been trying to figure out how the hell they can bring that season back. Because remember, the NBA had to shut down this season after Rudy Gobert tested positive for that Rona. And then Rudy, unfortunately and unconsciously, spread Rona to Donovan Mitchell and other people on his team. So the NBA had to be like, man, how are we going to get our season back? How are we going to put our season back online, on board, to make sure that we got something going on? Because, hell, we got to make money and we got to play. And we don't want to really compete with the NFL. But let's see what's happening, right? But I think they're going to end up really competing with the NFL, and that's going to be interesting. So the NBA Board of Governors today approved, and this is June 4th, so that's 2, 3, 4 days ago. So the NBA Board of Governors today approved a competitive format to restart the 2019-2020 season, with 22 teams returning to play in a tentative start date of Friday, July 31st. July! The board's approval is the first formal step among many required to resume the season. The NBA is working to finalize a comprehensive season restart plan with the National Basketball Players Association. The NBA and the NBAPA, which is the Players Association, are working with infectious disease specialists, public health experts like myself, and government officials to establish a rigorous program to prevent and mitigate the risks related to COVID-19, including a regular testing protocol and stringent safety practices. The season restart is also contingent on an agreement with the Walt Disney Company to use Walt Disney World Resort near Orlando, Florida, as a single site for a campus for all games, practices, and housing for the remainder of the season. So, right, because they want to contain it. You got to contain the thing, especially in the midst of the Rona outbreak, because Rona is real. So, based on the competitive format that the NBA Board of Governors approved today, the 22 returning teams would be the 16 teams, 8 per conference in current playoff positions, and the 6 teams that are currently 6 games or fewer behind the 8th seed in their respective conferences. So, any teams that's not in the top 8 who are 6 games or less outside of the playoffs will have a chance to fight for a playoff spot. So all of these teams, the 16 teams plus the other teams that are fighting for those last spots, will comprise the 22 teams with the best records in the NBA. So like 10 teams, just stay your ass home. You don't have a chance. Stay your ass home. So the board's approval of the restart format is a necessary step toward resuming the NBA season, said NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. While the COVID-19 pandemic presents formidable challenges, we are hopeful of finishing the season in a safe and responsible manner based on strict protocols now being finalized with public health officials and medical experts. We also recognize that as we prepare to resume play, our society is reeling from recent tragedies of racial violence and injustice, and we will continue to work closely with our teams and players to use our collective resources and influence to address these issues in a very real and concrete way. Okay, so the season restart will begin with eight seeding games for each returning team and include the possibility of a play-in tournament for the 8th and final playoff seed in each conference, depending on combined records across regular season games and seeding games. Once the 16-team playoff field is set, the NBA playoffs would proceed in a traditional conference-based format with 4 rounds and best-of-7 series in each round. So they're not going to do the FIBA thing that they was proposing, the FIBA format or the international format for the playoffs. They're not going to do that. So the NBA Finals will end no later than October 12th. And so you don't want to compete with football, right? So if, as tentatively scheduled, the season resumes on July 31st, then the 2020 NBA Draft Lottery will be rescheduled for August 25th. The 2020 NBA Draft will be held on October 15th. And the 2021 NBA regular season will begin on December 1st. The 14 NBA lottery teams would be the 8 teams that do not participate in the restart and the six teams that participate in the restart but do not qualify for the playoffs. These teams would be seeded in the lottery and assigned odds based on their records through games of March 11. The 16 teams would draft an inverse order of their combined records across regular season games and seeding games. NBA season restart competitive format plan. So the 22 returning teams for the season restart would be the Milwaukee Bucks, Toronto Raptors, Boston Celtics, Miami Heat, Indiana Pacers, Philadelphia 76ers, Brooklyn Nets, Orlando Magic, and Washington Wizards from the Eastern Conference. From the West, it will be the Lakers, the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Jazz, the Thunder, the Rockets, the Mavericks, the Grizzlies, the Trailblazers, the Pelicans, Sacramento Kings, San Antonio Spurs, and the Phoenix Suns. Each returning team will play 8 seeding games as selected from its remaining regular season matchups, and the conclusion of the seeding games, the 7 teams in each conference with the best combined records across regular season games and seeding games will qualify for the playoffs. If the teams with the 8th best combined records in the conference is more than 4 games ahead of the team with the 9th best combined record in the same conference, then the team with the 8th best record will earn the 8th playoff seed. If the team with the 8th best combined record in its conference, Team A, is 4 games or fewer ahead of the team with the 9th best combined record in the same conference, Team B, then teams A and B would compete in a play-in tournament to determine the 8th playoff seed. To earn the 8th seed, Team A would need to defeat Team B once, and Team B would need to defeat Team A twice. The 2019-2020 season would conclude with a traditional playoff format with the best of 7 series in the first round, conference semifinals, conference finals, and NBA finals. So that's proposed. That's basically what has been approved to be the new format to restart the NBA season. If the situation works itself out where there's a 9th seed and 8th seed whose records are comparable enough that they need to play each other for that 8th seed, then there will be a playoff between those two teams. And it could potentially be a 3-game series. So if the 8th seed beat the 9th seed once, the 8th seed stays. If the 9th seed beat the 8th seed once, then the 9th seed will have to beat the 8th seed again to take the 8th seed. So the 9th seed has to get 2 wins, while the 8th seed only needs 1 win. So we're going to see how all of that turns out. And they said July 31st. So it's June now. So July 31st is when they want to do this. So we're going to see how this works out. It'll be interesting. Just, you know, be safe. I know they're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars on COVID tests because I believe they want to test the players every day, do a COVID test every day to make sure no antibodies are present. So it's going to be different, and it's going to be interesting. But it could be effective, and it could be entertaining. I really don't have a specific opinion about this format. I don't not like it. I don't care enough to like it. But it is the format that has been approved to use. Now, if I see it and it sucks, I'll say it. If I see it and I like it, I'll say it. But as of right now, I need to see it. Because it doesn't sound bad. It really doesn't sound bad at all. It sounds like a sound plan to get things back on board, but like I said, I just don't really have a dog in this fight as far as whether I would say that this is good or bad for the NBA. What will be bad for the NBA is not being able to restart financially. What will be bad for the NBA, even worse for the NBA, is players being infected with COVID virus, especially if you restart this for, you know, the financial reasons, and then a player end up getting COVID, that's going to be real bad for the NBA. So NBA has to take all the precautions available to make sure that players don't get COVID. Now, you're not going to be able to restrict how the players move throughout the city of Orlando either, because they're not locked down, they're not in jail, so you can't just restrict them to that sports complex, that compound. They will be going throughout the city of Orlando. Somebody going to be importing some chicks. Somebody going to be hunting. Somebody going to meet somebody. Life going to be lived. But it just won't be a whole lot of travel outside of the city of Orlando, or any travel at all outside of the city of Orlando. So that's something that will be interesting to see how they contain or keep the players from contracting COVID while they restart their season. Because we do want to see, I ain't going to lie, we do want to see who will be an NBA champ. But not at the expense of players catching COVID. But we do want basketball. So that's what's going on with that. All right, so racism is still alive, and right now they ain't even concealing it. Or the concealed is being exposed, right? They said we're in the age of Pisces, which is the age of things coming to light. So the last age, we was in the age of Aquarius. So in this age of Pisces, a lot of things are coming to light. And a lot of stuff coming to light, especially with racism. Racism is more American than America. Racism is the foundation of this country. If you don't learn nothing else from this episode, learn that racism is the reason why America exists. Racism is the exact direct reason why America exists. Racism is the exact and direct reason why people are protesting in the streets. Motherfucking protest and keep protesting, but racism is the root cause of all of this. Racism within the police force, which led to police violence, which leads us all to where we are right here in this world. White people, before I read the story, my white people, my white friends, my white allies, my white people who I don't know, white people I know and don't know, listen to me. This is a time for you, a lot of you people, to open your ears, close your mouth, especially when I'm talking about listening. Listen to black people. Listen to what we're saying, how we feel, and what's going on. Listen to us. Your job is to fight the system of white supremacy and fight it hard. That's your job. Fight the system of white supremacy. Tear that bitch down. That's your job. All my white people, if you are truly against racism in America, fight it. Fight it. Because there's a lot of disingenuous stuff going on out here. So you got the NFL and Roger Goodell all releasing these statements. You know, I talked about this in the last show, but nah, man, it's not that easy. It's not that easy just to say, well, we're going to start releasing these statements because we now get it. Because the NFL and Roger Goodell and them are saying, well, Colin Kaepernick was right and we were wrong. What the? Duh. So you trying to tell me 4 years ago and beyond, black people didn't have an issue with police brutality? Now you see it. What's different now? What's different now? Because Eric Gardner was killed on camera. A whole lot of people were killed on camera. Eric Gardner was choked out on camera by the police. And this outrage and none of this from the country, from as many people in the country, these corporations, the NFL and thing, y'all didn't say nothing then. Now, we're not saying you can't say nothing now. But if it's going to be disingenuous, save it. Back it up with real actions. I just learned from listening to The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. I just learned that the NFL forced the city of Arizona, or the state of Arizona, the NFL forced the state of Arizona to implement Martin Luther King Jr. Day as a federal paid holiday, or as a state paid holiday. And how did they do that? They said, we will no longer be hosting Super Bowls in your state until you make Martin Luther King Day an official day. And a year later, Arizona made that. The NFL has power to make institutional structural change, but the NFL has to make that change within themselves. A Rooney Rule shouldn't have to exist. You motherfuckers just made an amendment on the Rooney Rule to where You incentivize owners for hiring black coaches. Think about this. Just a couple weeks ago in the NFL, we were talking about a revision, an amendment to the Rooney Rule to incentivize organizations for hiring black coaches. Because racism exists in the NFL. And so, NFL and Roger Goodell, you putting out these statements, these teams putting out statements in support of the protest or speaking out against the continued police brutality that black people face on a regular basis. Now you want to put this out a couple weeks later or a month or so later. I just talked about the amendment to the Rooney Rule a couple shows ago. Black Ahmaud Arbery was a couple weeks ago, a month or so ago, not too long ago. Nobody said anything. So now, because George, you can't tell me the death of George Floyd just all the matter. Oh no. We feel sorry for black people, even though we didn't feel sorry for black people when Breonna Taylor was killed. We didn't feel sorry for black people when Ahmaud Arbery was killed. We didn't feel sorry for black people when Trayvon Martin was killed. We didn't feel sorry for black people when Eric Gardner was killed. We didn't feel sorry for black people when Sandra Bland was killed. We didn't feel sorry for black people when Corinne Goins was killed. Our black men and women are being slaughtered by the police, and you people have been saying nothing. Save your words. Show it with actions. What are you going to do, NFL? Internally, guess what? Now, on the NFL side, even though I personally think Cap should tell the NFL to kiss his dick, the NFL, if you really want to show that you've turned the corner, get the Cap on the scoreboard. Now, I personally, from a social stance, fuck that shit. But from the NFL saying, for the NFL putting actions toward behind their words and saying that they are moving forward, they've learned their lesson, they believe that they've made a mistake with Colin Kaepernick, get the goddamn man the job. Not only that, start working to break down structural injustices in this country. Use your money. Use your power. Use your influence. Start challenging things. Like they were talking about, I've been reading about how people have been saying Roger Goodell has been working behind the scenes to get Kaepernick a job. Roger Goodell, you're supposed to go public, go vocal, and call out the owners who not getting Cap, who didn't give him a chance in the past. So we saw that little bullshit thing that Roger Goodell and Jay-Z and all the people tried to do with Kaepernick. Nah, man. Get that man, do something real and get that man on the squad. Also, fight. Your job is to fight structural injustice. Fight structural racism. Fight it, fight it, fight it. Put some actions behind your words. And if you're not going to put no actions behind your words, say the shit because you're being disingenuous. We know you motherfuckers is lying. We know, y'all, it's trendy now to say Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, the slogan, the quote, has become trendy. And white corporations who've never been sinning, you guys don't want to look bad and lose money because you see white people out there protesting. You see white people out there protesting in them streets, and y'all like, damn, these the people who we want their money. So we're not going to piss these white people off because clearly we don't give a damn about black people. But because we see white people protesting, we're going to put out these statements and say, hey, this is wrong. We stand with George Floyd and the black community and Black Lives Matter. Man, y'all don't stand with shit. Save your statement. Start with actions. Start donating money to real grassroots black organizations who've been out here working. And let me say this too. Protesters. Everybody has a role to play on these teams. A protest with no organization is a waste of time. It's not going to make anything happen. It's not going to have any long-term effects. How can we have these protests have long-term effects but also be connected with continuous community action? that should be one of the things that we're working on behind the scenes. I know I'm trying to do that. I'm in my city in Tallahassee, Florida. I personally contacted protest organizers. I haven't gotten a lot of response back as of right now. One young white girl has she responded back to my Facebook message. Somebody sent me an email back about their meetings and things. But what I'm trying to do is have a conversation and let them know, hey, how or come up with solutions on how we could best connect these the organizers of these protests with people who've been organizing in the community and who organize in the community on a regular basis. Because when the protests die down and people are no longer outraged about what happened nationally, people, black people, will still be being killed by police in their communities. Black people will still be harassed by police in their communities. Black people are still victims of structural racism within our communities around this country and around the world. So what continuous action will be available? The protests are good. The protests are there to agitate motherfuckers, to make motherfuckers look, make motherfuckers listen. But once we got to attention, this is the real work or the continued work. Let me take that back. I don't want to say real work because I don't want to diminish what the protesters are doing. But it's deeper than that. Protests by themselves don't change shit. Right? So shout out to all the protesters. Fuck you. To the people who are infiltrating these protests to mess these things up, fuck you. To the people who are using these protests for photo opportunities, fuck you. To the people who are using these protests to become famous, and fuck you. To anybody who's using black plight to advance your platforms, fuck you. But shout out to everybody who's genuinely serious about making real structural change, breaking down the system of white supremacy in America. And let's just be real. Let's get even more real. If we're truly serious about breaking down the structural racism, we got to start this bitch over. America was built on a foundation of racism and oppression. We have to build, if we really going to truly have a new America, we have to build this true new America on a new foundation. You can't continuously build on a foundation of racism and oppression. So we got to start this bitch over so it can be an equal distribution of wealth and resources and humanity in America. That's the problem. That's one of the main issues is white America built an unfair economic and resource advantage, especially over black people, because black people were the unpaid labor class in America that white America used to build their platform, to build their country. That's what happened. And so until we got to start this bitch over, until we build upon a new foundation, we kidding ourselves. Reparations have to be real, has to happen. A redistribution of wealth in America has to happen. So I just want to say that. All right, so an Oregon State athlete says to end sex, call somebody a nigga, call black people field workers in the rent. So Oregon State, he's a freshman tight end named Rocco Carley. He was dismissed from his football team after an audio recording where he used a racist language recently resurfaced. The recording was made when Carley was in high school, so that's not too long ago. In the video, which was posted to Twitter, the freshman football player can be heard saying horrific racist statements against blacks, homosexuals, and Muslims. I like to get all the blacks in the chamber and burn the shit out of them, Carley says. In the video, Carley sounds as if he is using a southern accent in an apology. In an apology on Instagram, he said that the video was satire. Yeah, all right, white boy. The video was taken about 3 years ago in a group chat where me and my friends were saying stupid things, Carly said. This does not condone anything of what I've said, but I promise you that all this video does not represent me. Bitch, yes, it does represent you. It represents you. You said what you felt. You said what you meant. You were in a safe space, and you said what you meant. White people, save y'all half-ass apologies. That's going to be like a theme in this show, white people with these bitch-ass apologies. Are you apologizing because you're really sorry for what you did? You're sorry for what you said. You're sorry for your mindset. You're sorry for your actions. You're sorry for the way you see black people in the world. You're sorry for your contribution to white supremacy. Are you sorry for that? Or are you sorry that your ass had to get caught and apologize and embarrassed? Because I believe this white boy, just like Jake Fromm and like Drew Brees, are sorry that they got caught. They're sorry for the backlash. So this white boy, what's the white boy named Carly, goes on to say, this is no way, shape, or form makes what I said right. I am truthfully sorry to everyone that I've hurt and offended, and I understand that I have not represented me or my family in any positive way during the situation. Bitch, you said you want to put blacks and other people in the fucking chamber and burn us up. So you go from, I want to kill black people, to, oh, this don't represent me. This is not me. This doesn't represent my family or my way of thinking or my way of life, even though I said I want to kill black people. So, Carly, tell us how you've changed. Tell us what led to your change. Tell us what daily steps you took to have a change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of perspective. Tell us. That's what I want to know. How has the change happened? What facilitated the change? What made you change? And what action steps are you doing now to fight the system of white supremacy, to tear it down, since you're so sorry? What are you going to do to fight the system of white supremacy? So one sports writer called the apology lazy and the justification that may have ended his college career. So this is Jake Elman in a tweet. A racist video from high school calls Rocco Carly his spot at Oregon State. His lazy apology, which read more like a justification for using slurs and offensive language, is why he may have destroyed his college football career in the process. Oregon State University head coach Jonathan Smith wrote on Twitter that he heard the recording earlier on Wednesday. He released Carly on Wednesday night. I immediately shared the audio with athletic director Scott Barnes. We both agreed this language and the attitude is entirely unacceptable regardless of circumstances or environment. So this is Jonathan Smith. I became aware of the comments made by Rocco Carly earlier this evening. I immediately shared the audio with Scott Barnes. We both agreed this language and attitude is entirely unacceptable, regardless of circumstance or environment. I spoke with Rocco and dismissed him from the team. I would not tolerate racism or hate speech. Smith said that he spoke with Rocco and still dismissed him from the team, saying, I would not tolerate racism or hate speech. Oregon State University is a public research institute, whatever. But Rocco Carly, man, your skirt been pulled up or your card been pulled. We see who you really are. We heard how you truly feel. Save your lazy ass apology. Save your half ass apology. One that you really don't mean. You're only sorry that you got caught. Now, if we're wrong, if what I just said is wrong, show me in your actions. And if you can't follow that up with actions, then I told you so. I motherfucking told you so. This is only issuing apologies is the most bullshit thing any white person who got caught saying some racist shit or doing some racist shit can do. That's the most lazy. That's the most bitch made thing you could do right now. Just, oh, I'm sorry for what I said. It does not reflect me. Because all you white people say the same thing. All you white people have the same apology. Oh, this does not reflect me. Fuck out of here, man. What you going to do to make things right? What you going to do to fight the system of white supremacy and racism? This shit goes beyond protest. Shit goes beyond apologies. Right? Continuous work, continuous actions have to be taken if we're really serious about breaking down the system of white supremacy. And Rocco Carly, prove your apology with motherfucking action. That's all I got to say about that. So we'll move on to Jake Fromm, bitch ass. That Jake Fromm got caught in a similar situation. In a series of texts with Jake Fromm and his people, and one of his homegirls put him out. So Buffalo Bills rookie quarterback Jake Fromm apologized Thursday after screenshots emerged of a text conversation in which he said only elite white people should be able to purchase guns. Right. So we're talking about white privilege, class, elitism, saying that basically only the ones who run this country and who are the races in this country should be able to have guns. Because we know you poor blacks and you poor other people can't get guns because y'all ain't got the money us elite white people have. Jake, are you really, do white people know you elite? Or do you just think you elite? Are you, do real racist white people accept you? They probably do, I don't know. The conversation which took place in 2019, it's 2020, is we 6 months into 2020, so this hasn't been that long ago. And was posted on Twitter early Thursday morning, involved Fromm and a friend discussing guns. Fromm wrote, but no guns are good. They need to let me get suppressors. Before adding, just make them very expensive so only elite white people can get them. Ha ha. Fromm went on to say that he was not an elite white person later in the conversation. I'm extremely sorry that I chose to use the words elite white person in the text message conversation, Fromm said in a statement posted on Twitter on Thursday afternoon, although I never meant to imply that I am an elite white person. As later stated in the conversation, there is no excuse for that word choice and sentiment. I stand against racism 100%. I promise to commit myself to being a part of the solution in this country. Show us your actions. Show us your actions. Show us your actions. So earlier today, we became aware of comments made in a text message conversation involving Jake Fromm in 2019. The Bill said in a statement, he was wrong and he admitted it to us. We don't condone what he said. Jake was honest and forthcoming to us about the text exchange. He asked for an opportunity to address and apologize to teammates and coaches today in the team meeting, which he did. We will continue to work with Jake on the responsibilities of being a Buffalo Bill and on and off the field. Well, y'all can't really tell him because when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling, y'all wasn't helping. So let's stop that. Defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier said he expected team leaders to reach out to Fromm and to work with him. Jake seemed very sincere in his apology. The motherfucker seeming sincere because he got caught. What part of this do y'all not see? Why wasn't Jake Fromm apologizing or was coming out and saying, hey, this is what I said, this is what I did 2 weeks ago or a month ago, even when it came out? Even the girl who leaked the text message, why wait in the midst of these protests to leak these texts? Why not leak the text when they happen? Because shit is popular. White people, we see y'all with y'all disingenuous actions. Fromm needs to be exposed. But Fromm needs to be exposed when it happened. Don't wait till when it's the best time to do it. Don't wait till when it's popular to do it. Do it when it happened. Black lives are being taken on a regular basis while y'all white people out here deciding whether or not y'all really want to be allies. I'm going to say that again. Black lives are being taken every day where y'all white people are out here trying to decide whether or not you really want to be an ally. Jake Fromm, I don't accept your apology. I want to accept your actions being different. I want to see your actions being different. When I see your actions being different, when I see you actually fighting racism, we can have a conversation about you being apologetic and being forgiven or we moving forward with it. But if you just talking, just like with the white boy, the other white boy I just talked about, if you just talking, man, save that, man. Save it. Jake Fromm, somebody leaked that girl that was supposed to be a friend, she leaked the text messages. And you got caught. Now, we are glad she leaked the messages. There's no sympathy for the messages being leaked. There's no sympathy for what Jake Fromm is going through. We see you. We see you. We see where you at. We see where you are. We see what you went through. We see you support the system of white supremacy. Now, don't backtrack and try to act like you don't. Now, if you're going to say you don't, once again, actions, actions, actions. And once again, the girl who leaked text message, what's so convenient about now that you leaked them instead of then? Just you know what I'm saying? So let's say you sit on these texts for 6 months. You know how many black people were killed in 6 months while you sat on those messages? Whether you decided that you want to come out against racism? Jump on it when it comes, when it happens. Call it out when it happens. Not when it's best or more convenient for you. All right, so the play-by-play announcer for the Sacramento Kings, Grant Napier, he was fired. It said resigned, but he was fired by the Sacramento Kings after an All Lives Matter tweet in exchange in a conversation with DeMarcus Cousins. So, longtime Sacramento Kings play-by-play announcer Grant Napier has resigned after tweeting All Lives Matter on Sunday in response to a question about Black Lives Matter. I want to thank the fans for their overwhelming love and support, Napier said in a statement Tuesday. I will always remain a part of Kings Nation in my heart. Napier, who had called games for the Kings since 1988, was answering a question from Sacramento star DeMarcus Cousins, asking him for his opinion on Black Lives Matter. Hey, how are you? Thought you forgot about me, Napier responded. Haven't heard from you in years. All lives matter, every single one. Cousins posted that Napier's response was expected. Former Kings forward Matt Barnes calls Napier a closet racist. Chris Webber also came out and said he'd been saw behavior and statements like this with Napier. Chris Webber saying they've been telling the Kings about this and nobody ever did nothing. But, of course, the climate is just right now. So Napier later apologized, telling Sacramento Bee on Monday that he is not as educated on Black Lives Matter as I thought I was. Okay, so when people say, all right, I'm going to use one example. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, specifically. Nobody says all cancer matters. During October, nobody says, hey, we can't just focus on breast cancer. All cancer matters. No. People bring attention to breast cancer. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You saying all lives matter in response to Black Lives Matter is saying that, hey, this isn't about you. This is about all of us. No, it's not about all of us. Everybody isn't being unjustly and unproportionately killed by the police. That's not happening to everybody. It's happening to black people in America. Saying Black Lives Matter, which is my shirt that I have on right now, is not the same. Is not the same thing as saying only Black Lives Matter. No, we're saying, bitch, Black Lives Matter too. Stop fucking killing us. Stop overlooking us. So, the tweet came out as protests raged across the country following the death of George Floyd. Floyd was a black man. He died last week in Minneapolis after pussy-ass Derek Chauvin, a white police officer, kneeled on his neck for more than 8 minutes. I had no idea that when I said all lives matter, that it was counter to what Black Lives Matter was trying to get across. You lied! So you work in the media as a play-by-play announcer in the NBA, which is the most progressive sports league, and you had no idea what Black Lives Matter meant. And you've been around all these black people for this long. You didn't bother to ask? Hey, when you all are saying Black Lives Matter, what do you really mean? Because you had plenty of time to ask, and you could have Googled the shit. You could have went to the Black Lives Matter website, even though, you know, I got my opinions about that because they don't necessarily represent black men. So there's a difference between the Black Lives Matter organization and the movement. I rock with the movement. I side-eyed the organization. He also issued an apology on Twitter, writing in response to another user, "If it came across as dumb, I apologize. That was not my intent. That's how I was raised. It has been ingrained in me since I can remember. I've been doing more listening than talking the past few days. I believe the past few days will change this country for the better." I don't believe these past few days will change the country forever. Why? Because, yes, we haven't had protests this we haven't had this many non-black people protesting, I would say that. We have had protests this large for other things. But we haven't had this many non-blacks protest the violence that black people are dealing with on a regular basis. But we've been here before. 2020, what's different from 2020 and 2015? In two weeks, three months, if we still had the same energy, then damn it, we got something to work with. But in 2 weeks, if it dissipates, it's cyclical, it's typical. Only the real organizers, only the real people who are about community change and real racial change will be the only ones standing in the street if all of this is just the same as it always usually is. I want it to be changed. We need it to be changed. We need it to be something different. System of white supremacy needs to be broken down. But it got to be broken down in the real way, and people got to be serious about it. This ain't just photo ops and opportunities to say when you get old, look, I protested for George Floyd. Yeah, but we still dying from at the hands of the police. So Napier also was fired Tuesday from Sports 1440 KHTK, where he hosts a radio show with former Kings player Doug Christie. The timing of Grant's tweet was particularly insensitive. Bonneville International, the media company that owns the station, said in a statement on Tuesday, "After reviewing the matter carefully, we have made the difficult decision to part ways with Grant." So Grant responded to DeMarcus Cousins' tweet with "All Lives Matter, Everyone, Every Life Matter," which is tone deaf, and he was fired. I mean, I'm not against it. I don't have a problem with it, but, you know, I'm just saying, if you in the media, especially in the media, man, come on, man. Don't you supposed to do your research, a play-by-play announcer? Don't you supposed to know what you're talking about before you talk about it? You've been doing this since 88 and you don't know how to educate yourself? And white people, stop acting like you have to talk to a black person before you can treat a black person like a human being. Stop that shit. We have to have conversations. We have to have more conversations. About what? About what? We're telling you what's going on. Nobody ever goes to victims of rape and say, we must talk about rape before we can take actions to stop rape. No, rape is bad. We don't have to talk about rape to stop rape. It's like we don't have to talk about racism to stop it. Stop being racist. If I tell you racism is happening, if you see racism, because we're seeing it now on camera, if you see racism is happening, we know racism is happening in America. We know racism is the reason America exists. What we got to talk about? If you're a white person that's saying that we have to have a conversation for you to humanize me, then you full of shit and you can kiss ass and suck dick. Because you don't get it. And you need to go fucking educate your damn self. All these means of information, go educate yourself. Nobody had to tell, I didn't have to have a conversation with anybody to look and see that sexual and domestic violence was wrong and to be a part of the solution. I didn't have to have one single conversation with one victim of rape or domestic violence. Not one. I didn't have to have one conversation with anybody who's an activist. I saw something was wrong. I had an opportunity to take a stand. I had an opportunity to be an ally, and I, damn it, took action. I didn't have to have a conversation with anybody. Y'all pissed me off with this. That's why racism hasn't stopped, because y'all keep finding excuses to make it last. I understand that the total goal of white supremacy is to maintain racism, which is the domination of other people, the domination of non-white people, the domination of white of everybody who is not considered these pristine white people, and domination and control of land and resources. That's what they're fighting. So, miss me with that bullshit, man. I ain't stupid. I studied this shit. All right, so Florida State athletic director and football players react to Mike Norvell's statement, because let's read it. Let's just read it. Head coach Mike Norvell has issued a statement on his Twitter. Norvell expressed his pride for Marvin Wilson and a regret of his word choice in an interview with the Athletic. Let me see if I can read this better. So it says, I'm proud of Marvin for utilizing his platform to express his reaction to my comments in an earlier interview last Saturday evening. I sent a text to each player individually to present an opportunity for open communication with me. Many members of our team chose to respond and have more in-depth conversations about issues and feelings. Marvin is right. It was a mistake to use the word every, particularly in this time. Words are important. I'm sorry. Once again, I'm grateful for the opportunity that was given to speak for our team more in depth as a result of Marvin being willing to express his feelings. We will continue to communicate and work together to be a part of the solution. So Mike Norvell, like I said in the opening, Mike Norvell in an interview basically said that about what's going on in the nation when the protests start, that he had a conversation with each individual player about what's going on to help be on the right side, to help understand more, to help whatever, which was a lie. Mike Norvell did not talk to every player. And Marvin Wilson, this player, called him out. So here's some content I'm going to read to you. So it says, good evening. I want to shoot you a short message. Sorry I can't send video because I'm driving. I want to let you know that Maria and I are praying for every coach and player, as well as for our country, for all those who have been victims of hateful action, discrimination, prejudice, and disrespect. We lift them up in our thoughts and seek justice. We live in an unfair and volatile world, but I want you to know that you are loved and continue to make a difference for our country's future. I know there is anger and strong feelings that come with each day and every experience, but please know better days are ahead because of you. Yada, 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 yada. So basically, you know, Marvin Wilson retired. This ain't really going into it like I wanted to, but Marvin Wilson and other players responded to Mike Norvell lying, saying that he went and spoke with every player and was doing what he can to make sure that everybody is on the same page and on the right side of history, right? So Mike Norvell got caught grandstanding, and the FSU players have threatened to sit out workouts. And I think they actually did sit out workouts and forced conversation. And once again, conversation ain't enough. First of all, I shouldn't have to force conversation. And conversation alone isn't enough. All what should happen with the sitting down is white people telling black people what they're going to do to fight structural racism. Or white people sitting down and listening to black people explain to them their plight, and then white people responding with how they are going to fight their white counterparts who are racist. But I should not have to tell you over and over about what's going on with me for you to treat me like a human being. That's one of the underlying issues in all of this. So once I get more information about this with Mike Norvell, you know, I'll bring you up to speed. But, yeah, man, like, come on, man. Stop grandstanding, white people. Stop lying. Stop going for image. And we need real action and real results, man. We need practical things happening, not imagery. Imagery is not going to keep black people alive. Statements are not going to keep black people alive. True action and fighting the system of white supremacy is what will keep black people alive. So it's time for this weekly rant. My energy is already there. So I ain't even singing my song this time. I don't even have to sing the song because I'm already there. This weekly rant, damn it. This is the weekly rant. It's aimed at Drew Brees and Laura Ingle. Right? So let's start with Drew Brees. So Drew Brees apologizes for making comments about how he will continue to be against kneeling, and he's against kneeling because it disrespects the flag and the military, and he had two granddaddies who fought in World War One, and they mean the world to him and all that other white people bullshit. And basically Drew Brees is saying, I'm racist, I support white supremacy. You shouldn't take a stand during the national anthem because it's disrespecting the flag and everything. So basically Drew Brees is there. Now Drew Brees also made that same statement in 2016. That has to be noted. Because Drew Brees is only apologizing because he got it, because the backlash. But he said this before. He said this in 2016 and didn't feel any remorse for saying it in 2016. He's saying it now and faced backlash, and now he feels remorse. All right, so Saints quarterback Drew Brees apologized on Thursday for his comments on NFL's players kneeling during the national anthem because he was asked, do you think kneeling would happen now that the more protests have sparked? And Drew Brees went on to say this, never agree with anybody disrespecting the United States flag. That's when he went on to say, like, you shouldn't kneel on the flag. It's disrespectful to the flag, disrespectful to the troops, it's disrespectful to his granddaddies and all these things. And Drew Brees is only looking at this through a white lens, as if black people did not fight in World War One, as if black people didn't fight in World War Two. Matter of fact, black people have fought in every war and every major conflict and on American soil, black people have fought and died. We're discriminated against in the armed forces. We're discriminated against before they got in the armed forces, and we're discriminated against after they got back home. So before I join the army, I'm facing racism. In the army, I'm facing racism. And when I get back, if I make it back, I'm still facing racism. I could be in my uniform and still be discriminated against. But everybody want to say thank you for your service. Drew Brees, you full of shit, and your bitch ass apology is full of shit too. He found a picture with a black and white hand holding, and he issued a statement, an apology. So this is Drew Brees. He's saying, I would like to apologize to my friends, teammates, the city of New Orleans, the black community, NFL community, and anyone I hurt with my comments yesterday. And speaking with some of you, it breaks my heart to know the pain I have caused. And in an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem. Bruh, you're not talking about unity and solidarity and respect if you're only looking at it from a white view, from a white lens. This is not about white people. This is about the injustices that black people have been facing since day one that white people brought us to America to be workers. And in the midst, black people fought for America and America's freedom when black people themselves still didn't have that freedom. Nobody, there is no single other group of people in America who's more patriotic than black people. Not a single one. You can't name one other group of people. There's no other group of people face the shit that black people face, and black people still be riding for America. Look at how black people ride for the Democrats, even though we know the Democrats ain't gonna do shit for us. And we still ride for the Democrats. Miss me with that, Drew Brees. That was not about unity. That was about the maintenance of white supremacy. You know it. I know it, and the smart people know it. I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we're facing right now as a country, issues we've been facing since 1619 as a country. No, excuse me. Issues we've been fighting since 1619 as a people, black people, by ourselves, been facing. And we've been oppressed by white men like you. They lack awareness, and their statements lack awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. Instead, those words have become divisive and hurtful, and have misled people into believing that somehow he is an enemy. You are, bitch. You are. You've said this before. This could not be further from the truth, and it's not an accurate reflection of my heart or character. What I told you, everybody say that. Then he posted a picture of a black hand holding a white hand. So, and people start giving them the business. Like, his teammates gave him the business. His number one receiver gave him the business. Ed Reed called him a sucker on Twitter. Like, Drew Brees, you just don't get it. Now, Drew Brees issued a statement, and Michael Thomas, his receiver, forgave him. Other people forgave him. Tony Dungy forgave him. Of course, the football world went to Tony Dungy because they see Tony Dungy as the voice for the black community, and Tony Dungy did the usual docile Christian thing. Oh, we forgive you. We forgive you. You know, God put it on my heart to forgive you because you said you're such a good white man. I'll forgive you. Nah, bro, your forgiveness has to be earned. Drew Brees, fuck you until you put actions behind your words. Your forgiveness has to be earned. They heard all them chants in the streets of New Orleans of fuck Drew Brees, fuck Drew Brees, fuck Drew Brees. Drew Brees heard that. Drew Brees also knows he's at the end of his career and he don't want to go out like a sucker. Too late. Because Drew Brees, we could pull up tape of you saying the same thing in 2016. You spoke how you felt. You said what was truly on your heart. People are trying to say you were set up and all these things. Man, look, somebody asked you about players kneeling today, and you go into how it disrespects the flag, how it disrespects the military and all these things. That means you aren't trying to get it. There's no excuse for any adult in 2020, any adult who's saying that they are against racism to be this lost. When you have so much access to information. Now, I'm not expecting white America to really teach white people about racism. But I'm expecting all you white people who claim to be against racism to educate yourselves and to take action. It's more than just conversations. Challenge your friends. Challenge your family. Challenge the people you work with. The NFL, do away with the Rooney Rule. And make sure that black head coaches are hired. Make sure black owners are in the league. Make sure black presidents. Can we get a black commissioner? Make sure more black executive positions are happening. Right? If all you corporations, all you people, Drew Brees and everybody, if y'all truly mean what you say, back it up with action. And the fact that you all are only just talking. The fact that you're only sorry when you get caught has me side-eyeing you. That for me, it ain't real. Because if you wouldn't been caught, you wouldn't have said nothing. There would be no need for you to apologize. If you're really sorry, you wouldn't have said this again in 2020. The same thing you said in 2016. You felt the same way. Your feelings haven't changed. Your feelings haven't even changed now. You're just going to move smarter. You're going to be more, you've learned to be a more covert racist. That's what you've learned, Drew Brees, how to be a more covert racist. And so, the other half of this is old cooch ass Laura Ingram. Basically, Laura Ingram, who told LeBron James and Kevin Durant to shut up and dribble a couple years ago, is defending what Drew Brees is saying. So what happened to shut up and dribble? She's saying Drew Brees, she said he's allowed to have his view about what kneeling and the flag means to him. I mean, he's a person. She said, this is beyond football. And so LeBron James has called her out and called her on her hypocrisy. And she, Laura, shut your dumb ass up, Laura Ingram. Shut your, Laura Ingram, you are an, you are a, you, Laura Ingram, you might as well put your KKK hood on. You might as well do it. Stop tiptoeing the line. Stop beating around the bush. You are an outright racist who support white supremacy, and you will suppress anything that speaks against white supremacy. You will support anything that that uplifts white supremacy. If your mentality of shut up and dribble, don't speak on these issues, if that was truly how you felt, you would have said the same thing about Drew Brees. Instead of supporting him and saying he has the right to say. So Drew Brees can say, can express himself and say what he wants to say in support of the flag and fake support of the flag and fake support of the troops. But LeBron James and Kevin Durant can't criticize Donald Trump for actually being racist. Why? Because Laura Ingram, you support white supremacy. You are a white supremacist. You are suspected white supremacist, Laura Ingram. You are a suspected white supremacist. Your actions continuously to show that. You are a bitch-ass excuse for a human being, Laura Ingram. You are less than the discharge of a disease-ridden vagina. That's what you are. Laura Ingram, the discharge of a disease-ridden vagina has more value than you, Laura Ingram. Laura Ingram, I took a shit this morning, and my shit has more humanity than you. It was a good shit, too. I took a real good shit this morning. And the shit that fell out of my asshole has more humanity than you, Laura Ingram. You are a poor excuse for a human being. You are a poor excuse for women. You set women back. You set humanity back, Laura Ingram. You are the personification of what bitch-assness is. You are the personification of what pussy-holeness is. You are the personification of what racism is. You are the personification of just an insignificant being who white people gave a voice to. And you continue to say dumb, racist shit because you support white supremacy. And you don't have the balls to come out and just admit it publicly. And that's one thing about you. Like, at least Donald Trump got the balls to be a real racist in public. You don't. You steady trying to toe the line, Laura Ingram. You whack. Your pussy whack, your family whack, your kids whack, your daddy whack. Fuck you, fuck your whole bloodline, Laura Ingram. Everything about you and everything about your existence is bullshit. It's full of shit, and it needs to be we need to restart your life over. Like you need to go back. Like you need to go back to being a sperm that was shot out, and you need to be bleached and washed. And replant it inside some egg and grow it. Because your parents taught you this. Your parents ingrained this. The communities that you've been in, the schools that you've been in, the environments that you've been in have all reinforced this white supremacist idea that you have in your head. Now, that's why you're getting down the way you're getting down, Laura Ingram. You ain't shit, Laura Ingram. Drew Brees, you ain't shit either. Your apology is fucking whack. Your apology came like less than 24 hours later after all the backlash and things. After you kind of seen like, damn, shit going to be different. If I was a Saint player, hey, Drew Brees, I don't accept your apology. I accept your apologetic actions, but I don't accept your apology because we can find evidence of you saying that before. You said how you felt. Now you just too much of a bitch to stand on what you said. because you a bitch. And like PMC said, you ain't got to be a bitch your whole life. Lord Anger, you ain't got to be no pussy hoe your whole life. You can change. You can change. You can make the choice to not support the system of white supremacy. But you are not, because you believe in the ideas and the concepts of white domination, white supremacy. That's why we are here where we are. Laura Ingram, fuck you and your whole life. Fuck you, fuck your daddy, fuck your mama, fuck your husband, fuck your kids, fuck your in-laws, fuck your colleagues, fuck your employer, fuck your bank, fuck the people who you buy shoes from, fuck your hairdresser, fuck your dentist, fuck your doctors. Everything about you that support the white supremacy can go to hell and be burned in the pits of hell. And Lord Ingram, you can eat the ass of 100 rotten assholes. Eat 100 rotten booty holes, Lord Ingram, because you a piece of shit. Racism ain't going to stop in this country until white people decide to not fucking be racist no more. Hey man, this is episode 16, part one of the Fix Sports Podcast. Remember, part two is available now as well, which is my interview with my good friend, football coach in the state of Michigan, Bruce Fennell. We had an incredible, wonderful conversation, so y'all make sure y'all check that out as well. Episode 16, season 5, this is part one. Part two is out as well. I am Joseph Ward. This is the Fix Sports Podcast right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Two fans in the air like a player, man. I'm about to hear and fuck racism. Power to the people.
I am the greatest.
I called the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless.